भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Nadata, Atma, Hi, Gunam, Na, Dosham, Na, Kriya, Palam, Utashnivad, Ashinaha, Parabra, Diga, Ishvaraha. Nadata atma hi gunam Nadosham na kriya phalam Udashinavat ashina Haravara Trigishvara Nadata atma hi gunam Nadosham na kriya phalam Udashinadvat ashinam Haravara Trigishvara Nadataratma higunam Nasusam na kriya phalam Udashina ashinaha Haravadi Ishvara Nadaratma hi gunam Nadosham na kriya phalam Udashina vadashina Paravadati ishvara Nadaratma hi gunam Nadosham na kriya phalam Udashina vadashina Haravara Drigishvara Na, not, Adate, accepts Atma, the Supreme Lord, He, indeed, Gunam, happiness, Na, not, Dosham, unhappiness, Na, nor, Kriyaphalam, the result of any fruitive activity. Udashina vat, exactly like a neutral man. Ashina, sitting in the core of the heart. Para avara. Trit.
Seeing the cause and effect.
Ishwaraha.
The Supreme Lord.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.
The Supreme Lord, Atma, the creator of cause and effect, does not accept the happiness and distress that result from fruitive actions. He is completely independent of having to accept a material body. And because he has no material body, he is always neutral. The living entities, being part and parcel of the Lord, possess his qualities in a minute quantity. Therefore, one should not be affected by lamentation. Please repeat. The Supreme Lord, Atma, the Creator of cause and effect, does not accept the happiness and distress that result from fruitive actions. He is completely independent of having to accept a material body. And because he has no material body, he is always neutral. The living entities, being part and parcel of the Lord, possess his qualities in a minute quantity. Therefore, one should not be affected by lamentation. Purport. The conditioned soul has friends and enemies. He is affected by the good qualities and the faults of his position. The Supreme Lord, however, is always transcendental because he is the Ishvara, or the Supreme Controller. He is not affected by duality. It may therefore be said that he sits in the core of everyone's heart as the neutral witness of the causes and effect of one's activities, good or bad, and bad. We should also understand that Udashina, neutral, does not mean that he takes no action. Rather, it means that he is not personally affected. For example, a court judge is neutral when two opposing parties appear before him, but still he takes action as the case warrants. To become completely neutral, indifferent, in material activities, we should simply seek the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Neutral Person. Maharaj Chitraketu was advised that remaining neutral in such a trying circumstance as the death of one's son is impossible. Nevertheless, since the Lord knows how to adjust everything, the best course is to depend upon him and do one's duty in devotional service to the Lord. In all circumstances, one should be undisturbed by duality, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:47. Karmani eva karashte ma palam kata jana ma kama polo hetur bhut ma ishango stu akarmani. You have the right to perform your prescribed duties, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duties. One should execute one's devotional duty, and for the results of one's actions, one should depend upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanti Midandasya Janandanan Shalakaya Chakshura Militandina Tasmaya Shri Hiluna Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garata Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So he is pointing out, although the Lord is the controller of all the causes and effects that are going on in this world, he's not enjoying or suffering the different activities that are being performed. So it's said that here the Lord is neutral. He's like a witness. The super soul, he is witnessing our activities and giving the results in due course of time, either good or bad, happiness or distress. So more or less he is like the order supply. So the super soul is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he is simply fulfilling the desires of the living entity. His business is pleasure. So therefore, super soul is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He functions differently. And so he says he doesn't accept these the results of different activities that the living entities are performing. Krishna says in the third chapter, there is no work that affects me. There is no work that affects me in this world. Because I don't aspire for the fruits of action. So this is how we are bound in the material world. We're aspiring for the fruits of action. We're performing activity, we want some result. So that attachment to the result is a cause of bondage in this world. So Krishna's saying, I'm not like that. The living entities are like that. They're attached. That's why they're bound up in this material world. But I'm not like that because I have nothing to gain. What do I want? Why I should desire something? I never need anything. So therefore I'm free, I'm independent. And Krishna says that if you know this truth about me, how Krishna is completely independent and free, because he doesn't aspire for the fruits of his action, then you can also become as free as me. Krishna is telling his secret here, how to become free from his attachments to this material world. You don't aspire for the fruits of activity. Krishna says in that verse that, or it's in the purport, that the living entities oh yeah, Krishna says, I'm not becoming bound. Why not? Because I'm not in it for myself. I'm performing activities. Arjuna says, you're performing activities, Krishna. You look like a Kshatriya. You're following certain Kshatriya codes. So why not? Why isn't there attachment and reactions? Everyone else is doing the same thing. They're acting according to their natures, brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, etc. And they're getting a reaction from it. So why you don't get a reaction? I see you've got your bow and arrow, you've got your weapons, and you're a king, and you're a kshatriya. So why you don't get bound also? You appear to be acting like anyone else. But Krishna says, I act, but I'm not acting for myself. This is the difference. Living empty, they're acting for their own sense gratification, their own pleasure. But I don't do that. I act for others. That's why Krishna says, I come here to establish religion and kill the demons. It's for others. That's, Krishna has no business to come in the material world to enjoy. Certainly, he's got his whole spiritual realm. God's business is enjoyment, the purpose of life, Krishna's pleasure. So certainly he's not going to come in the material world just to enjoy it. It's not a place of enjoyment. He keeps repeating again and again in Dukalayam, it's a miserable place. So why Krishna will come to enjoy? So he doesn't. He comes when I come, I come for others. I don't live for myself, I live for others. So Krishna says, now you understand this secret about me, that I don't aspire for activity, my fruits of activity, I only act for helping others in Krishna consciousness. Then you can also become as free as me. Secret, Krishna is revealing his secret. Because we are a small part and parcel of Krishna, says. Like father, like son. So if we actually become the good sons, then we can become as free as the father. If we disobedient, we don't follow the father, then we can expect there's going to be some trouble. So an example is given, just like there is a spider, he lays his web, the Margosh, puts the cobweb somewhere. Oh, it's nice and clean here. I don't see any cobweb. But anyway, there's a cobweb. And when the flies and poppers come and everything, the little bugs, they come, they get stuck on the web. It's very sticky. And then that's the spider's food. He rushes over and wraps him up for breakfast. And so that's his food. So he is running freely all over the web. He doesn't get stuck. Everyone else is getting stuck on the material world. So like that, the material world is built like this. It's built to bind everyone in the material world, to give them attachment. That's the purpose. So Krishna is so he's like that spider. Spider is the best. The best of all living entities is the spider. He has something very unique, Prabhupada. We have to struggle hard to build all these big buildings. The spider, he creates his own house, his own place. And then he withdraws it back when he doesn't need it. We can't do that very so easily. But the spider has its unique city. Every living entity has a city that someone else doesn't have. Prabhupada was talking about city, and one of the babies in it was with the Mataji, started screaming really loud. Prabhupada said, "City, we're grown up. We cannot scream like that. We cannot make such a loud, piercing sound. But baby can do. She has something that the grown-ups can't do. It's her protection also. So she, baby can't do anything else except scream. But it's a city. So that's okay. We may say now Krishna, he's God. He can do anything he likes, so he's no problem for him. He can come in the material world and not be entangled. But what about the other people? We're not God. So, so then the example of the spider is given. That the spider, he is running all over the web. And when the spider has babies, tiny little, they're immediately running all over that web. They don't get attached. So like that, be a good son of God. Like father, like son. You become a good son of God, obedient son, then you can also move freely on that web. You won't get entangled in this material world. But we have to be Like father, like son, we have to, Krishna's here to preach a message. It should be our business. He is our father. So let's be like sons. We're here to preach a message of Krishna, Mahaprabhu. That's our business. We do that sincerely, then automatically we become free. No separate endeavor. Prabhupada points out here that he's talking about becoming neutral and indifferent from this material world. And how to do that? We should simply seek shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Neutral Person. So that's Krishna. He appears to be the Supreme Neutral Person. So when Krishna is saying also that you should be neutral, so many times in Bhagavad Gita, be neutral, Arjuna, be neutral to dualities of this world. So this is the Gyanis especially, they like this neutrality. Shamadasana, equanimity, peace of mind. So that's the so by Gyan they try to achieve that goal of equanimity. Neutrality. And Krishna's recommended in the must be the modes of material nature chapter. Krishna says that one who doesn't hate illumination, attachment and delusion when they are present, nor does he long for them when they've gone. He's talking about the modes of material nature. Illumination means goodness, attachment means rajagun, and delusion means ignorance. So they're coming and going all the time. So Krishna says, one who doesn't hate illumination when it's present, because it'll go off for some time, the modes are always in flux. he doesn't hate illumination and attachment and delusion. So Tama, Raja, so these three are having a battle to become prominent in the living entity. They're fighting for supremacy, it mentions in the chapter. The living entity, sometimes Raja becomes prominent, sometimes Tama becomes prominent, sometimes Sattva becomes prominent. So there always this flux is going on, they're competing. So therefore it's very bewildering in this material world. Sometimes you're in goodness, you can think very clearly, the same. You discuss the same subject or the same activity another time and Rajas is very present and you don't come to the same conclusion. Because of the constant changing. So anyway, in that chapter, Purple Prabhupada says that, so how does one become aloof from these interactions of material nature? And he says that you don't try to enjoy the material world, nor do you try to get out of the material world. So, many instructions like that are similar in the Bhagavad Gita. So, you don't try to enjoy the material world, that's the kami. He wants to enjoy them. You don't try and get out of the material world, that's the jnani. So much again, Krishna speaking in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada in every purple brings it back to bhakti practice. Otherwise, there's so much again Krishna is speaking. He doesn't try to enjoy the material world, he doesn't try to get out of it. So this is knowledge. So that means that there are different processes to adopt this, how to stop trying to enjoy the material world. That means you've got to become self-controlled. How to get out of the material world. You've got to do your austerities. It takes a lot to get out of the material. It's not easy liberation. So you've got to do a lot of work for the jnanis. So if we, according to what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, then we should be studying nature, how to get out of nature. We should be studying the spiritual realm, how we can get liberated. But here Krishna's Prabhupada saying you don't have to do that. You don't have to take to the path of karma. You don't have to take to the path of jnana. Any path you don't have to take except the path of bhakti. Bhakti alone is sufficient. It will accomplish everything that your path of jnana will accomplish, your liberation. It will accomplish all of your whatever kind of happiness you want. Can be done by bhakti, or everything can be achieved by bhakti. Whereas by following these paths individually of jnana and it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get bhakti. Even when you're perfect, you get your perfection, you get your, not only you get your mukti, you get free from, but still there's no bhakti there. So we can do bhakti right now in this material, but we're always hearing about this because we have to follow some process, and you know, this is what the scriptures are full of, how to become detached. There's an awful lot of this detachment being spoken in Bhagavad Gita, but it's not although we become yogis and live in the Himalayas, with sit on a kushasana and bus, that's it. Or lie on the road like a python and eat something that comes past and leave or something. So that's detachment. It's certainly teaching detachment. But we don't have to follow all those. We simply follow the path of bhakti. The loving devotional service of Krishna. Automatically we'll get the results of all the other processes. So this is the supremacy of devotional service. So therefore, although Krishna comes in this material world, because he's performing bhakti, because he's preaching to others, bhakti, come practice bhakti, come back home to me. This is what Krishna wants. So therefore, he's not bound, because he's not living for himself. He's simply living for others. So here, this is Krishna consciousness. We should be living for others. We shouldn't be living for ourselves. We got all these buildings, everything, the temple, the deities, everything. What is it for? It's for others, actually. Prabhupada said we're content to sit on the bank of the Ganga and chant Hare Krishna. But you advertise Swami Bhaktivedanta is sitting in Mayapur, bank of the Ganga, chanting Hare Krishna. He said, how many people will come? Oh, you give nice facility, get them nice guest house, some nice food, they can eat nicely. They will come. So, living for others. Of course, the servant of the king lives like the king, so we also enjoy. So, so here, explaining how the Lord is always neutral, and he always says that I'm neutral. Well, throughout the Shastras and Vedas, it says how the Supreme Lord is neutral, but actually Krishna's not neutral. because he says, I favor my devotees. Well, that's not neutrality. That seems like he's favoring his devotees. It doesn't seem very, God should be all-loving, all-kind, equal. These other qualifications we hear about, then why does he say, oh, I favor my devotee more? So he is equal to everyone, but for his devotee, he is much more special. But everyone else is equal. But for devotee, he takes special consideration. Why not? Prabhupada said, the housewife, she loves all children, but she gives special attention to her own children. It's natural. You can't stop it. So simply, Krishna is equal to everyone, but he gives special attention to the devotees, those who are surrendering unto him. So, yeah, so, just one purple one. One verse, one purpose, so much knowledge, and talking about liberation, talking about getting free, getting how the Lord is there as a super soul. But bhakti shines through. And Prabhupada also quotes this other verse, that you have the right to perform your prescribed duties, but you're not entitled to the fruit. Krishna says, you're entitled to do your duty, you should do your duty, but you're not entitled to the fruit. That fruit should be for me. Well, we're doing activities, but we're expecting some fruit for ourselves. So, you have a right to perform your prescribed duties, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities. And never be attached to not doing your work. So you should do your work here, Krishna says. Don't be attached by not doing work. Well, renunciation means renunciation, so I'll stop work. No, you should do your duty, but you shouldn't be attached to the results of your duty. Don't consider yourself the cause of the result. I am doing this activity, therefore I'm going to get this result. The result you leave up to Krishna. Prabhupada says you act. You act as if you're doing the activity for yourself. The activity and the motivation, you're doing an activity to get a result from it. You're very motivated, result motivated. You're acting like that, but you're dependent on Krishna for the result. You act like the result is dependent on you, but you depend on Krishna. You're dependent on Krishna for the result. So he is the cause of he's the cause and the effect. So we just simply dependent on Krishna in all of our activities, whether he wants to make us brokenhearted or maybe he wants to by kicking us away or he may embrace us. That's the idea. We're dependent on Krishna. We'll do our duty to serve Krishna. And we depend on Krishna to give the result. The ultimate result is love of Godhead. Prem Pumata Pumam. This is the the ultimate fruit of our activities. Bhakti. Love of Krishna. So, the bondage is very, very deep. We're hearing the philosophy, but to actually apply it all the time. Bondage is very, very deep. The attachment to enjoying the results of our activities in this material world. Even though we have knowledge, we forget Krishna. I put myself in as being the enjoyer and then suddenly I forget Krishna in one moment. Some sense object becomes before my senses and immediately I forget Krishna. At least a little while. Some people do it. I do it anyway. So we forget. But we have knowledge of Krishna. So why do we forget Krishna? The reason we forget Krishna is because we've had so much experience of being the enjoyer in this material world. This is our main identity in this material world. We want to be the controller and to enjoy it. This is Krishna's position. We're here to imitate Krishna. This is the But Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasham Sarvalokameshwaram. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller of all things. So that position we're trying to take for Krishna, Purusha Bhava. That consciousness of being, that we take with us birth after birth after birth. Then the body changes completely. Millions and millions of 8,400,000 species one time round. Thousands of times round, millions of times round. Then one little universe, millions of universes. This is what we're doing. Changing bodies again, one thing doesn't change. Despite all these transformations. And that is that I'm the enjoyer of this new body I've got, this situation. Very difficult to get out of this conception. That I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. So, the thing is, we have experience of enjoyment. Experience is there. So naturally the senses will go to that sense object when it appears before us, because it appeared before and we entertained it and we got a good experience. And those experiences, we got a bad experience, so we reject that. So the mind, he accepts. I had a good experience last night. So he accepts. And so that experience is there. So it's natural how the senses, they get attracted to something. Because they've had experience, there's some happiness. Illusory happiness. There is some happiness there. So therefore we forget Krishna. And how much experience of spiritual realization we have. How much experience of spirit do we have? How much realization of Brahman we have? I am Brahman, but how much... What is Brahman? What is the self? Kim tat Brahman kim adi atma, Arjuna says. What is Brahman? What is the self? Krishna said the living entity is Brahman, the Aham Brahmasmi. And his eternal nature is called the self. So self-realization means understanding our eternal nature, our situation as Brahman. But who can remember that? Who can? That is our very self. And that's the whole existence of the spiritual world. But in the material world, we're not experiencing that. Even though we are Brahman, but we're not experiencing it. But we have experience of material happiness and distress. In fact, the whole creation has been manifested for this purpose, to give you these experiences of happiness. You have to get the distress as well if you go along with it. But we have no experience, we've forgotten Krishna. We've forgotten ourselves even. We are spirit. We are lame. I am lame and ill-advised. Madan Gop Mohan is my only shelter. I take shelter of his lotus feet. He's the only one who can give me some spiritual legs. Pongo means, in that verse, Pongo means lame, one who cannot walk independently with spiritual legs. Just like if I want to go to the temple, I cannot go to the temple independently from this body. I've got to get up and I've got to walk down there, even though I'm not this body. But still, I cannot act independently as spirit, because I've forgotten spirit. So that's why we always forget Krishna, because with the experiences we've had with the good and bad in this material world, that's attracting us. But then you have to come to your senses and pull yourself back and say, well, this is not really where we're supposed to be doing, not really supposed to be the enjoyers. But that's why it constantly happens. We're constantly drawn away by the sense objects, because the tangible experience of happiness, material happiness, was there. And zero happiness of spiritual identity. Of course, I guess a lot of people have some realization. Otherwise you wouldn't be in Krishna consciousness. Something's really inspired, isn't it? But most of the people, we've lost it. We've lost that spiritual taste. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? One who has tasted the eternal, he is the one who is free from lust. One who is free from lust, he has tasted the eternal. He knows how to surrender to Krishna. How do you surrender to Krishna? If you don't know who you are, how do you surrender to Krishna? First you got to understand who you are. Then you can surrender. If you don't know who you are, how we can surrender? So those, they're done with material lust. They've tasted the eternal. They've tasted that eternal nature. Now they know how to surrender to Krishna. So that's why it's so difficult in this material world, because we're just accustomed to experiencing different sensations through our senses. And that's the way Krishna planned it. The whole universe has been planned like that for Krishna. It's no wonder we're bewildered. We want to be bewildered. Well, we don't want to be bewildered, but we want to be Krishna. We want to enjoy life. So we have to be bewildered. So Krishna bewilders us, and he makes this material world like that. It's so attractive, and you do get tangible experience of happiness. And get bombarded so much that we do forget Krishna. But it's made for that purpose. We wanted to forget Krishna. How we can be the enjoyers when Krishna's around is the idea. So Krishna, as a loving father, okay, it's a foolish desire, but I'll fulfill your desire. I'll create your whole place where you can go and you can be the controlling angel. You can experience. So it's no wonder we're bewildered. It's no wonder Chechu is bewildered. So much attachment, so much happiness was there in the next moment, so much distress was there. So, so the only solution according to this verses. That we have to take shelter of that completely neutral person. And that neutral person is inclined to his devotees. So we become his devotee, we render devotional service. Then Krishna says, I am. Everyone is equal, but I'm inclined to my devotee, even though he is neutral. But so without surrendering to Krishna, which is caused by the mercy of a devotee, it's the devotees who actually make us surrender to Krishna. If we didn't have these purpose or Prabhupada, how would we ever come to the conclusion of surrendering to Krishna? So by the mercy of devotees, one comes to this point of surrendering to Krishna. And then by Krishna's mercy. And without this surrender and approaching a devotee, then practically this is impossible to get out of this delusion. Chitraketu is going to suffer like anything. But fortunately he met the devotees, Narada and Angira, and they instructed him in the science of bhakti. So otherwise he would have never overcome this grief and delusion. He would have gone a whole life lamenting. But by Krishna's instructions, then ultimately he spent, and he sees the Lord. We're going to learn in a few. He actually sees the Lord. Even he's so attached, he has to. I mean, how many wives? Thousands and thousands of wives. So much happiness was there, and then so much lamentation. Yet he sees the Lord after a few days, after, because of the grace of the devotees. Narada, they instruct him. And the Lord, he had mercy on him. Because he got the mercy of the devotees. And Krishna, Krishna gave him his darshan. Then he was completely free from all of his lamentation and delusion. My memory is gained and my illusion is gone, Arjuna said. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, My memory is gained and my illusion is gone. He didn't say it the other way around. My illusion is gone and my memory is gained. No. First you understand. Your memory means Krishna gives you remembrance. From me come remembrance of him. So Krishna gives you remembrance of who you are. When you remember who you are, what did Krishna say? By your mercy, I have regained my memory and my illusion is gone. So when you know who you are, it's an eternal servant of Krishna, when you actually realize that, all your illusion is gone. So therefore Arjuna said, now I know I've regained my memory, I know who I am, now my illusion is gone. It was all based on this false identification with the body. But now I understand who I really am, I have realization, now all my ignorance is gone. All the ignorance is based on the bodily identification. I got to kill my family members in this battle. It's all based on body. But the moment Krishna gave him remembrance, who I am, now my illusion is, I know what I'm not. If I don't know who I am, then it's difficult to understand what I'm not. So this is the amazing grace of Krishna. We take shelter of the devotees of Krishna, and by the blessings of Krishna, then he reveals everything, our identity, and that destroys all the illusion. And what do? We continue with bhakti. That's all we ever did. Continue in the activities of bhakti. There's no need for it. Trying to get out of the material world, or trying to enjoy the material world, but now we want to please Krishna. Without motivation, without attachment. Now we serve Krishna purely. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Thank you. Any comment, question? You have a city. We cannot shout like you. Prabhupada ki. Shambhaveta bhakti.